I've been changed. I have waited for this moment to come, and I want me by. So I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be. For your presence came and changed me. No, I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be. For your presence came and changed me. Say, I won't go back. I won't go back. I can't go back to the way it used to be. Before your presence came and changed me. Amen, amen. I was reminded this week of the back part of my testimony that I wasn't privy to. I had to be told, but I thank God that he had a plan before I arrived. He knew where I would be, even if I didn't. So thank God for predestination. So I'll just ask you to bow your heads. We're going to say a prayer over the service. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord God, thank you, Lord God, for just being a God of grace and mercy. No matter where we've been, Lord God, we're here today. We're not who we should be in this moment, Lord God, but we're not who we used to be, Lord God. Lord God, thank you for just keeping your hands over us, Lord, protecting us, Lord, from things we don't even know, Lord God. We're not even aware of, Jesus. We take so many things for granted, Lord God. We just want to take this moment and tell you, Lord God, we can never thank you enough, Heavenly Father. Lord, we just ask, Lord, that your word come forth, Lord, in today, Lord God. Use our brother, Lord God. Lord, let him get himself out of the way, Lord God, to be used by you, Lord, so we can hear from our favorite preacher, the Holy Ghost. Lord God, bless our pastor as he comes up, Lord God, and just talk to us before the brother come minister to our hearts. Lord God, we want to give you the honor, the glory, and everything in between, Heavenly Father. Just thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 I give myself away. I do. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. I do. I give myself away so you can use me. Oh, here I am, and here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I'm longing to see your desires revealed in me. So I give myself away. I do. I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away.
Myself away so you can use me. And here I stand. Lord, my life is in your hands. Lord, I'm longing to see your desires revealed in me. So I give myself away. Oh, I give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Hallelujah, Lord, I give myself away so you can use me. My life is not my own. My life is not my own. To you I belong. Oh, I give myself to you. Oh, my life is not my own. It's to you I belong. Lord, I give myself to you. One more time, my life is not my own. My life is not my own. To you I belong, and I give myself to you, give myself away. I give myself away. Hey, I give myself away so you can use me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Wanted to ask for your prayers. We have another relative that's going through, amen, at this time, and just trusting. And we know that God is a miracle worker, and he's going to need a miracle. But we just want to just take my uncle Henry, amen, before the Lord in prayer. Brother Mark is going to come and speak for us tonight, but just want to have a prayer for my uncle, amen, before Brother Mark would come. Amen. Let's just bow our heads. Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We come to a miracle working God. We've seen you do it before, and God, no matter what the situation is, it's not impossible. For all things are possible to those that believe. And Lord, we are believers. So the only thing we know to do is to pray and to seek our God. We ask that you just intervene. You see my uncle in his condition, situation that he's in. And he needs a touch from you, Lord. Doctors can't do it. The nurses can't do it, but you can. So Father, we just trust you and ask that you move by your spirit upon his need. Look upon his family. Lord, as they're just kind of enduring this time, strengthen their faith, Lord, just to hold on to you. Father, for we know that you have all things under control. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. As Brother Mark would come tonight, amen, to share the gospel with us, we'll continue to sing that song, Give Myself Away. Amen. We want to welcome him to the pulpit tonight. Amen. Give myself away so you can use me. I give myself away. Hey, I give myself away so you can use me. My life is not my own. My life is not my own. Oh, to you. And I give myself.
God bless you tonight. Who's happy to be at the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. Musicians, you can take your seats if you'd like. Let us bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we Just thank you, Lord, for the desire just to be here in your house, in your presence, Lord. Lord, you've carried us through, Lord, this midweek, Lord, and we're here because of your grace and your mercy, Lord. Father, we're here just to hear even as one word from you, Lord. May you transform us and change us by your word, Lord. Your word is the only word in this entire world that can change and transform and change situations, Lord, and do so many things that we can't even imagine that it can do, Father. Lord, may you just be with us as you're always with us, Lord. May you bless any of those who are coming on their way here, Lord. May you help us to receive what you have for us tonight, Lord, and may you move me plumb out the way. May the people just hear from you and you alone. We ask all these things in the most precious holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, if we want to turn our Bibles to Psalms 46. Let me set my timer as well. Say amen when you get there. All right, so it says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters therefore roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her that right and early. The heathen raged and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in asunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Amen. You may be seated. So the title of this sermon is, Though the Oceans May Roar. So I was going to Michigan a couple weeks ago. I was listening to Sister Rebecca's song. And that word, when she said, though the oceans may roar, this struck me. And the Lord began to give me inspiration, and this is how this sermon came to birth because of that. So I'll definitely say that the two albums that have been released, Sister Rebecca's and Brother Jack's, have been a real blessing to me, strength-giving. So I just love, you know, because sometimes we listen to, you know, songs, Maverick City and all them, you don't know exactly what their life is. But when you know the individuals personally, you know their life, so you can have confidence that they're living a life compared to, you know, the other we could say the other music out there. So I looked up the word roar. So it means to cause a loud, continued sound. We say the sea or the winds roar, a company roar, an acclamation. So I just think that in the season of restoration and overflow, the enemy is going to try to make the oceans roar. He's going to try to get you to get your eyes off of the season of restoration and overflow. He's going to put things in your life that are going to cause surprise, heartaches, whatever it may be, because he doesn't want to see you get in the channel of restoration and overflow, because he knows when you get in that channel, he's going to be defeated. So that's why we have to keep when the oceans are roaring, we know that we're in the will of God, because he even said in Peter, I'm getting ahead of myself, don't think it strange about these fiery trials. They're come for a reason. They're come to perfect you, because God is calling us to perfection in this day and age. And restoration is going to help us get to that perfection in our life, because when Jesus died on the cross, he saw us in a perfect image. So God is trying to get us to that perfect image, trial after trial, step by step. And so we don't have to worry, because we know that the God of hosts is with us. All right, so I want to, as I was reading this scripture, some things really point out to me. So the first thing we see is, therefore will not we fear. So I love that confidence right there. Though the earth be removed, the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, number two. Number three, though the waters therefore roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the welling thereof, then he says, Selah. So all these things are going on at once. But I love how David started off. The first thing he said was, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. So it doesn't matter if all these things are going on, because we have God who's our refuge and strength and a very present help in trouble. So what do we have to fear? These things are going to come. You can't stop them from coming. They're going to come, but God promised to be with you and in you until the end of the world, to the end of the age. So we can have confidence in God. We can have a best friend. We can have a wife, a husband, but they can't. They're going to fail you eventually because they're human beings. But God cannot fail. He will not fail. He's never lost a battle. So let's go to a quote, as I thought on my ways. David later cried, I'll bind thy commandments on my bedpost. I'll honor thy statutes in awe when he sees the goodness of God. But you know, the psalmist said again that God is our refuge, a very present help in a time of trouble. So it's good to know God, to find God, get on speaking terms with him while there's nothing wrong. So I think human beings, I think Brother Jack brought this out a couple weeks ago, that a lot of times people wait until everything's falling apart to talk to God. But the thing is, if you would talk to God, it's a quote, in times of peace, prepare for war. Because we know in times of peace that the enemy is plotting against you. He's trying to see what he can do next. He's studying what you do every day so he can plot to get you. But the thing is, while he's doing that, make sure you have a close walk with God, because you don't want to wait until everything's going wrong to start praying with desperation. When you're on the mountaintop, pray with desperation. So you won't be surprised when the trial comes, because a lot of times we get surprised because we get a little lackadaisical in our prayer life, in our reading life, or whatever it may be. And then that trial comes and like slaps us in the face. And we're like, why is this here? But if we remember what the scripture says, think it not strange. So he says, get on speaking terms with him while there's nothing wrong. So I love that right there. Then in a time of trouble, he's a very present help in the time of trouble. And so I love that song. So though the oceans may roar and the mountains be shaken, I know I'm not forsaken. So I love that right there, that I know I'm not forsaken. No matter how bad the devil's attacking, I know that I'm still not forsaken. And she says, every step that I take, not some steps, but every step that I take, no, I don't have to worry. He says, I know your hand will guide me because you are with me. So I love that right there. That gives the believer confidence. Maybe not the nominal believer, but the believer, he gets confidence right there that you know that you're not forsaken because you are his own. Your name is written in the palm of his hands, so you know that you're not forsaken. So the thing is, it's not our job to try to figure out why we're in a trial or why this has happened. Our job is just to trust. It says, be still. Just trust and be still. That's all you have to do. It's not our job to try to our job is just to recognize that God is our refuge and strength and a very present help. And it's our job to trust him and knows that, as Brother Marquis said, he has a plan for your life. So you don't have to try to formulate a plan and do this and do that. God knows you have goals and desires and a future plan, and he loves that. But the thing is, you want to make sure that your mind isn't just set on what you want, but what God wants. Because sometimes we can get caught up in things that we want to do this, but we haven't checked to see if God wants it for our life. Because something can be good right now, but be a hindrance later down the road, 6 months, a year down the road. So that's why it's very important to be on speaking terms with God so he can lead and guide you into what he needs you to be in. Because he wants to use you in different, we can say different social circles, at your job, whatever it may be, because there's places that you can't reach and I can't reach that somebody else can reach though. So that's why God wants to use you to give himself glory. Amen. So let's go to Romans chapter 8. This is probably a very familiar scripture. We've probably read it many, many times over the years, but I think it's a very fitting scripture. So we'll go to Romans 8, and we'll start with verse 35. So it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? It's asking a question. So who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And he gives this, he poses this, shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? And I'm going to give some definitions. So tribulation is severe affliction, distress of life, vexations in scripture. It often denotes the troubles and distresses which proceed from persecution. Now, distress means extreme pain and anguish of body or mind, as to suffer great distress from the gout or from the loss of near friends. Also, it means affliction, calamity, misery, a state of danger, as a ship in distress from leaking loss of spars of want, to afflict with pain, anguish, or apply to the body or mind. Persecution, the act of practice of persecuting the infliction of pain, punishment, and death upon others unjustly, particularly for adhering to a religious creed or mode of worship, either by way of penalty for compelling them to renounce their principles. Now, famine is a scarcity of food. That's one thing I say in America we don't have to worry about compared to other countries, because there's so much food that we waste food. I see many people waste food and this and that, but other countries that aren't as well fortunate as us, they experience these things, so we could be thankful that we aren't experiencing this naturally, I should say. But sometimes spiritually, we can experience famine because we're not putting our foot to the gas with our walk with God. Because sometimes when we get blessings, we decide to lax off. That sometimes that's human nature, but we have to override human nature because we know we operate by the eyes of faith and what's inside of us, because God is always going to call you to a higher plane, a higher level, because he wants to use you in a deeper way, in a more personal way. So the more intimate we get with him, the more he can use us to expound his glory so others can see him and him alone. So nakedness is one of means of defense, and peril is danger, risk of hazard, jeopardy, peculiar exposure of person or property, injury, loss, or destruction. So now these are some hefty things he's mentioning. He says tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword. These are some real-life things. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But I love what he says right here. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So he mentioned all these things, but these are no excuses why we still cannot be conquerors. Because if Jesus died and rose again, then we are conquerors. We are overcomers. So there's nothing that the enemy can put in our place, in our way, that we can't overcome, because it's the overcoming living inside of you doing the overcoming. But he can't overcome if you don't let him overcome inside of you. So it's surrender. You have to surrender to win every battle. Because God expects us to be victorious in every trial. If we're not victorious, then we missed something. We took our eyes off of him. So it says, for I am persuaded that neither, he's given more things, for I am persuaded neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. So I love that part right there. Nor trials to come, no obstacles to come. There's nothing that can stop you from reaching the perfection that God has called you to. He's leading you with his mighty hand as he led the children of Israel. All we have to do is have faith. The one thing they lacked was faith, and that's why they missed it. God, I'm getting ahead of myself. God literally showed them and told them what he would do to get them to their promised land. But still, they mixed unbelief instead of faith, and they were constantly murmuring and complaining. God was faithful the whole entire time. Manna raining down from the heaven. A brazen serpent. We got water from a rock. Like, what more do you need? Like, what more can you need? God literally, plagues in Egypt. I'm getting ahead of myself again. Opened the Red Sea and parted it. So what more do you need? Like God literally, like, he babied them, we could say. Every time they would murmur, complain, he would give them another chance, give them another chance. But yet they still missed it. Let's keep it going. So nor height nor depth or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I'll say this. We have no excuse. We cannot make no excuse, because the Bible tells us that there's nothing that can separate us from the love of Christ. So we should let none of these things separate us from the love of Christ. So God doesn't want to hear my excuse. He doesn't want to hear your excuse. So he didn't want to hear the children of Israel's excuse. So the thing is, sometimes we can make excuses sound so good to ourselves. We can trick our own selves by making such a good excuse. But the thing is, you can't trick God. So don't make an excuse, just like Nike says, just do it. Literally, just do it. So these things that we go through, they make us more like him. In fact, they increase your faith. They build the perfect statue of a man in you. So you got that faith, you got long-suffering, love, all these things that God is trying to build a building inside of you, a pyramid, we could say. And let's go to Romans 8:28. So we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God and who are called according to his purpose. I'm believing tonight that I'm talking to everybody who's called according to his purpose. So if you're called according to his purpose, it says all things work together for the good of them that love God. So it may seem like everything is going wrong, but guess what? He's going to make all things work together for your good and my good. So we can have faith as we're walking down this path that you're going the right way. Because if everything's going wrong and like the enemy's attacking, that means you know that you're in the right place. If he's not attacking, then you better worry. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, and we'll read... We'll read 7 verses there. I know I said, let me get there. Okay, chapter 4, and we'll read verses. All right, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fire trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing has happened. I want you to know it says fiery trial. So one thing I want to point out, in order to be an overcomer, there has to be something that you have to overcome. The Christian walk isn't a walk of just ease and laziness. But be an overcomer, something has to be in your way to you to overcome it. An obstacle has to be there. So don't think it's strange. Any battle, any war that was won, there was an obstacle. There was an enemy they had to fight. In fact, there was battles, there was wars. And so the thing is, don't be surprised when the things come. Just be thankful that you can be in a fiery trial, because that means God sees something that he wants to perfect in you. So a lot of people, a lot of Christians, they don't even pay attention. They just go to church and then do their thing on a weekday, come back to church, and they just leave God here. They don't take God, they don't take them with him. So the thing is, God wants you to take him with him wherever you go. But rejoice in so much as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory of God resteth upon you. On their part, evil is spoken of, but your part, he is glorified. But it says, but let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of them that obey not the gospel of God? If the righteously scarcely be, think about that. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? So it really shows me that it's none of my merits, not how good I can be, not how good I am, but it's what Christ has done. Because I think the Bible even says, even at your best, it's like a dirty rag. So it shows us that we can't think that we've done something. It's what the finished product of what God has done. So that's why we're here today, standing because of his grace and mercy. Wherefore, let them suffer according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to him in the well-doing as unto faith their creator. Let's go to a quote now, the resurrection of Lazarus. He got sick, and sometimes God tries your faith. Do you believe that? He says, every son that cometh to God must be tried. Think it not strange that the fiery trials come, because it's only done to perfect your faith. And guess what else? And draw you closer. They're worth more than gold to you, all right? The prophet just reminding us why we go through these trials. So we wonder why Brother Brandon went through some of these things he went through. It was for a perfect plan, a perfect purpose, so more of God could be inside of him. Let's go to Exodus chapter 14. We're not going to read all these verses, kind of just for the sake of time. But we'll go to to the Red Sea showdown, we can call it. And we'll go to Exodus 14, and we'll read, I'll kind of skip around a little bit, but sometimes when your Bible's falling apart, it's falling as last lanes. A little hard to turn sometimes. I think I glued it like 2 times already in my life. So Exodus 14, we'll go to verse 9. So in the Bible reads, "But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and the chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pitup and before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. They were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord." So I wanted to stop right there real quick, and actually we'll go back to verse 1. "And the Lord said unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before Pitup between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon, before it shall encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say to the children of Israel, they are tangled in the land of the wilderness, and has shut them up." So God's just telling Moses to speak to the children of Israel to move. And so I think of like this, as we're getting down to here, you're going to hear the children of Israel complain, oh, we should have stayed in Egypt and this and that. But you guys literally were crying for deliverance. Literally, you're the taskmaster. So the very thing that you prayed for has got answered. And now you're complaining because God had answered the prayer. To me, that literally logically makes no sense if you look at a logical standpoint. So the very thing, you literally, if you were crying out to God, it was something that was really tasking to you mentally, physically, and spiritually. So let's keep going, verse 11. "And he said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt?" So the thing is, if they knew God can do these things in Egypt, then this little situation, was it hard for God to handle? So the thing is, if God killed the firstborn of the Egyptians, flies, locusts, and all these things, and there was only light in Goshen, no light in Egypt. So if God can do all those things, then what this little trial, can God not do it? Can God not? If God could be with us, if God is for us, who could be against us? So the thing is, but we see that they had the same type of attitude. So I can see why God looks at the attitude. It's the right mental attitude, as the prophet said, that brings any divine promise to God to pass. So let's go to verse 12. "Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone?" So I want you to notice, they never apologized to God for saying that. He delivered them, and they never repented and said, oh, Lord, I'm sorry. But yet they kept doing it over and over and over and over again. Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians, for it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. I love verse 14 right here. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. So the thing is, sometimes we get so overwhelmed and so stressed out because we're trying to do God's job. God never called you to do his job. God told you to be still. Even Paul said that we got to be in perfect rest. We got to be in that rest. The Holy Ghost is rest. So the thing is, we try to figure everything out, formulate everything, plan this out, do this and do that. But God wants to fight for you. God knows how you're going to win this battle. God knows how you're going to get this victory. So just trust in him. Let him do the fighting. You play your part, hitting your knees, read your word, speak in faith, move in faith. And then watch God show out, if we could say that. Watch God do his thing. Watch God hit a home run. Hit a buzzer beat or whatever you want, however analogy you want to hit. So let's keep going. We'll go to verse 15. "And the Lord shall say unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me?" So I think sometimes in situations, it's a time to cry, because we know in Ecclesiastes 3, it's a time to cry. But I think a lot of times we kind of doubt the God inside of us. Speak the word and move in faith. That's what God was trying to tell Moses. Because he said, I'm with you. And so he's a prophet, and obviously we're not prophets, but we have God living inside of us. So we have the word living right inside of us. I think sometimes we're scared just to speak. Speak the word. If you're reading in the word, then you have authority. because Christ has given you authority to change atmospheres, to change situations. So speak it into existence. Don't be scared. Like that song says, speak, just speak. And so we see that, verse 15, it says, and the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore Christ thou unto me, speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. So we're in a season of restoration and overflow. Speak and move forward. Maybe your business isn't doing as well as you wanted to. Speak. Maybe your spiritual walk isn't doing as you're going to want to. Speak. Maybe your family members aren't here yet. Speak. God wants to hear you speak. God loves to be reminded of his word. Just speak it. Speak it out to him. He loves to hear his children repeat his word back to him. Verse 16. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thy hand over the sea and divide it, and the children of Israel shall go on dry land in the midst of the sea. And I behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will give me honor upon the host and upon his chariots. Let's skip down to verse 20. And it came to pass between the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back and forth in a strong wind by night. Let's go to verse 23. And the Egyptians pursued and went after them to the midst of the sea, even Pharaoh's horses and chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass in the morning watch, the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire of the clouds troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. So even the Egyptians realized that God fought for them. So even your enemies are going to realize that God is going to fight for you. And to me, that brings me so much assurance and so much peace in my life that I know that God cares so much for me that he's willing to fight for me. He's willing to help me get the victory. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thy hand over the sea, and the waters may come again on the Egyptians, upon the chariots, upon their horses. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the sea turned to his strength, and the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it, and overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. I want you to also notice that there was not one person left from the Egyptian camp that came after them. Not one. God said there not be one. So look at that. He killed every enemy. So sometimes there might be Sauls in your workplace and many things. I remember Brother Jack said that. He said, let God kill Saul. Amen. Don't you try to do it. Don't you try to let God do it. Right. He'll have to leave, get a new job, whatever it is, or be your friend, whatever it may be. So let's read a quote from Proving His Word. It was said one time that Israel was walking in the line of duty. Walking in the line of duty to a promised land. So I believe we're walking in the line of duty to the rapture. And right in the line of duty, the enemy come and backen them up in the corner. And the Red Sea cut them off from the line of duty in their march. And God looked down from the heaven. So when they hit the Red Sea, that didn't surprise God. He was like, I knew it was going to be there. In their line of march. And God looked down from heaven through the pillar of fire. And the sea got scared. I love that. It rolled back its waves because God's waves was in the bottom of the sea. And it made a way for his children walking in the line of obedience. So if you're walking in the line of obedience, God is obligated to fight your battle. Because you're getting in step with the word. If you're in step with the word, then God is obligated by his word to fight your battles. So you have nothing to worry if you're now, if you're not in obedience, then you might have to worry a little bit. But if you're in obedience and in line and in step, then you can have confidence and faith that God is going to fight for you. Now, God, if the Red Sea would get scared and roll back his waves, roll back his waters, and give a place to journeying children marching in obedience, dear God, tonight, look down through the blood of your son, Jesus, who made the promise when these handkerchiefs placed upon the sick bodies of people, may the eyes of God look, and may the sickness that the devil be scared and move away. May the people keep the journey to the promised land with good health and strength as Israel marched through the wilderness. There wasn't one feeble person among them as the other end. May it be granted for these people, Father, for we send these handkerchiefs in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Read one more quote. Now you remember, he had already prophesied, for he said, these Egyptians that you see today, you'll see no more. And then immediately he began to cry out, God, what can we do? See, after he'd done a pretty good job in prophesying there, you see, he done told them what would happen. If the word of God was in him, it was in him. Right. And when he was telling that, it actually come to pass. When he said it was already going to come to pass, here he was crying out, what am I going to do? Oh, if that isn't human beings, if that isn't me, if that isn't me, see? He already proved what he said was going to happen. I think sometimes, getting ahead of myself again, that I look at David. David didn't even have the Holy Ghost, but yet he could look back and see, God gave me the strength to kill this lion and this bear, and this Goliath, he ain't gonna do nothing either, because he's in the line, because David's in the line of obedience. So if he's in the line of obedience, he can have confidence that this uncircumcised Philistine won't stand. So I think sometimes we forget what God has done in the past. But think about, David didn't have the Holy Ghost. We have the Holy Ghost. So we got authority and power living inside of us. So we can look back and see what God has done as well and have a victory just like he had a victory. He had three victories, victory, victory, victory. We can do the same thing. Brother Bram said we live 1,000,000 miles below our privilege. He didn't say 1,000, he said 1,000,000 miles. So God expects these things to happen. God expects testimonies of victory. He expects spiritual blessing. All these things he expects us to have, but we have to be the one feeding upon him to get these victories. I lost my train. Where am I at now? And here a circumstance rose in a moment. What I must do? What I must do, Lord? I think we get in that too. Hey, Lord, where are you at? Hey, do you hear me? What must I do? He had already ordained him and vindicated him. And I think sometimes we're scared to speak the word. And God wants to see, are you really believing and trusting me? Speak the word. I placed it inside of you. Use it. And he had already ordained him and vindicated him and proved, worked everything through him. And here, God, oh my, fully expressing men wants to rest and let God do the pushing. Wow. All right, so, and yet he knew that God had anointed him for the job to do this. And God had clearly vindicated his claims. It was time for the people to be delivered. God, through his miracles, wonders, had drawn them all together in one group. You follow me. Brought them all together in one group. Vindicated his claims. Scripture said so. Here was the sign. Here was the evidence. Here, everything had said. So I look in the season of restoration. We have evidence. How many people have testified of God restoring, God overflowing their business? So these are for all of us. We can all experience these things. Like I said before, in our business, in our walk, in our families, these things, God is still on the throne. God is still God over everything. So these things are at our fingertips to grasp. There is much as you, God is much, you can't exhaust God. You can't exhaust him. He's like an ocean. You can't exhaust him. Don't be scared. Oh, God, I need this. No. Speak. Open your mouth up. Ask big things. Ask small things. Ask medium things. Ask. I think sometimes we're scared to ask, and God wants, it's like a little kid, you know they want something, you're just waiting for them to ask. And same thing with God, is waiting for you to ask. Paragraph 210, but he wanted to wait on thus saith the Lord. He should have known that the very vindication of his call was thus saith the Lord. Wow. His job that he was ordained to was thus saith the Lord. Can you get it? Why he didn't wait on thus saith the Lord? So the Bible tells us that he chose us. That's thus saith the Lord, right? He chose you. He called you by name. So we can have confidence that if he called you and chose you, that the word is living inside of you. Yes. We'll read one more quote, and we'll go to Joshua 10. Joshua 1, I'm sorry. We'll go to Joshua 1, actually. I know it says 10 on there. We'll go to Joshua 1. And God wanted Moses to have faith that he put in him, and the gift that he had clearly vindicated. God had clearly proved to Moses that it was him by the word and by the things that he was said to come to pass. It was clearly identified. There was no need of him worrying anymore about it. See, there was no more of him thinking about anything about it because it was already cleared up. He had already done these things. He had already proved by flies and fleas that spoken of creation that the word of God was in him. Let's go to Joshua chapter 1. Let me get there myself. All right, so Joshua chapter 1, very familiar scripture. We've all read this many times, but I believe it's still very important and very timely and very powerful. So now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, the son of Moses, the minister, saying, so we know the prophet has left the scene, but yet the word is still here. It's still vindicated. So we have to carry the torch. we have to bring the message to others. We have to, because Brother Branham, he called us. He told us that it's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if it was Jesus with the children of Israel, he's still Jesus with you today. So he's still doing these things. He's still parting the Red Sea. He's doing all these things. So he's still giving you strength to kill Goliath in your life. Because there's Goliath. There's going to be Goliaths in your life. And you, and God is giving you the strength and authority to conquer these giants in your life. So Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, and all the people unto the land which I do give thee, even to the children of Israel. Because in the children of Israel, they experience overflow in that land. It says overflowing with milk and honey. And so I believe God is calling us to a spiritual promised land, which is the Holy Ghost, as we know. And there's going to be overflow. Overflow of the, your cup overflowing spiritually. You're going to see your business overflowing where you don't even know what to do. You got so much work. You're going to see your family members overflowing in the seats. You're going to see it. Because God knows what you've been praying for on your knees. And he's going to answer it in the perfect time and in due season. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. Now, he's speaking that to you personally as well. He may be speaking that to them in that time, but I can see myself in here. I can see you guys in here as well. From the wilderness and thus the Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land, the Hittites, unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. So we could literally dovetail that with Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 39. All the days, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Look, Jake, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. I love that right there. Let's keep going. It says, be strong and of good courage, for unto the people shalt thou divide for inheritance of the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. So I see God is really trying to stress obedience. Obedience is greater than sacrifice. So turn not from it to the right hand, to the left, but stay right in the middle, that thou mayest prosper whatsoever thou goest. Right? That's the key to prosper whatsoever thou goest. We can go to Psalms 1 as well. I'm not, don't go to it, but Psalms 1 says the same thing. Whatever your hands touch, it'll prosper. But that's the key right there. That's the key. You got to stay faithful to the word. And if you're faithful to the word, you're faithful to God, because God and his word are one and the same. You can't separate them. So the simple, I guess we can put in simplicity, always keep God first. ABC, always be in Christ. Just keep it simple as possible. This is the book of the law, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written, not just some, not just your favorite scripture, but all that is written therein, for then shall make the way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. So it's given us the formula how to be prosperous spiritually and physically. Because if you're doing Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things should be added unto you, then guess what's going to happen? God is going to supply all your needs, right down from the spiritual all the way down to the natural. Overflow, anything you can think of. If you are putting him first, he's going to supply everything that you need. Because God loves to honor faithfulness. Just like when your kid, when your son or daughter listens to what you say, does his chores, you want to bless him. You want to give him gifts. So the same thing in God's economy. If you are doing everything you can to please God, obviously we're going to make mistakes. God knows that. Repent, keep going forward. God is going to bless you for that obedience. And he says, have not I commanded thee? You notice he mentioned this many times about being strong and good courage. Be strong and good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whatsoever thou goest. So once again, he's trying to build our faith and boost our confidence that he's going to be with you. He's always going to be with you. The thing is, don't just leave him right there. Because sometimes we leave God back there and we wonder why we're going through things. Same thing with Peter. Peter is walking on the water. As long as he's keeping his eyes on Christ. But when he took his eyes off of Christ, that's when he began to sink. And the same thing in our life happens. We take our eyes off of Christ and we wonder why we're sinking. Because you got to keep your eyes on the author and finisher, Jesus Christ. Because you keep your eyes on him, there's no enemy, no devil that can stop you. Because you got your eyes on your strength. Because you take your eyes off, you lose your strength. Same thing with Samson. He cut his hair, lost his strength. Let's look at, I want to just look at two verses real quick. Joshua, how are we on time? Okay. So let's look at Joshua 10:8 and Deuteronomy 24. In Deuteronomy 20, verse 4, it says in Joshua 10:8, and the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I deliver them to thy hands, and there shall not a man of them stand before thee. In Deuteronomy 24, 4, for the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. So once again, God is trying to remind us that he will go before you and fight for you. You don't have to try to do all these things and try to do this and do that and talk about this person bad, but let God handle it. Let God be God. Simple as that. So I tell you, there's going to be times that the oceans will roar. There's going to be difficult times, time to come. And I tell you, it's going to feel like you're drowning sometimes. You're going to feel like, I can't take another bad news, Lord. Like Job is just like, man, another piece of bad news? But I love how Job did not curse God not one time. And he didn't have the Holy Ghost once again. He didn't have the Holy Ghost like we did. He didn't have a group of believers like we did. He didn't have this Bible to read after to have encouragement and faith in a faith building. He didn't have none of that. In fact, his spouse even said, you should curse God and die. So he literally was alone, we could say. He had nobody to counsel him. His friends were saying, you're a secret sinner. But look at us. We got a whole community of Holy Ghost filled believers to give us strength if we need it. And we got a message of the hour. I can keep on going. The resources we got. He didn't have no iPod, no iPod Nano, no nothing, no MP3, no CD player, nothing. He literally had to rely on God. And I was listening to the prophet maybe a couple weeks ago. The sermon he was mentioning. He was saying that it was a very common occurrence for people to meet with God. He said it was even in the camp of the Philistines at one point when when Abraham lied to that king and said that Sarah was his wife. And then God came to the king in the dream and said, if you marry, you're a dead man. He's like, whoa, whoa, Lord, what are you talking about? He said, you know, I didn't know. He told me he was his wife or his sister. And so, but Brother Bram was just saying how, like, it was a very common occurrence for men and women to meet with God back in the day. And he says now it's a rarity because we have so much distractions out here. We have social media, technology. I mean, if you go 50 years ago to now, look how much more we have to work. Even though we're technically, we're further advanced, but I believe the more advanced that we get, the further away we can get from God. And so that's why you see that even we got psychiatrists are very high in demand now. People want to have them solve their problems, but they can't solve your problems, like we said before. They can't. They can try to patch it up, but they can't solve the problem. And so everybody wants to do, they want to try to find an easy way out. They don't want to try God because they know if they come to God, they got to give up things. They don't want to give up sin because sin feels good and it's pleasurable. But we know what it produces. It produces death every time. So they know what God can do, but they don't want to give up drinking, popularity, prosperity, all these things. Because you look at some of these mega churches, if they would start preaching the word of God, the congregation would probably be empty. Literally probably be empty. But they know that they want to keep the popularity, they want to keep the big crowds because that's where the money is. It's all about the money. And so a lot of people, good people, are going to miss it because they don't want to sell out lock, stock, barrel. And we see Moses, he was presented with the same thing, the next in line to be Pharaoh, but yet he chose to suffer with the people of God. He chose the reproach of Christ rather than that. And so we just see that we have to make a hard choice in this day and age because everything's presented to us. Popularity is presented to us. Friends are presented to us. Sometimes we got to walk away from friends because being unevenly yoked can actually draw you away from God because there's spirits that can be on that person that can get onto you if you keep hanging around that. So we got to make choices who we're hanging out with. I'm not telling you who to hang out with, but I'm just telling you to have a little discernment and have a little wisdom. So, but I tell you, God is right there lending you a helping hand. So just talking about just how there's going to be times where you just feel like you can't take another trial, or another issue or problem, we could say. But just know that God is right there guiding you and giving you strength to handle and conquer this. So all we have to do is trust and walk forward, just like Moses told, just like God told Moses. And let's read one more. So we'll read this from Why Cry and Speak. Faith is a long-range vision. It don't lower its sights. It holds to the target. Amen. Any good shooter knows that. See, that's it. It's long range. It's a telescope. It's like a binocular. It's like a three-point shooter, a peer, just knock it down every time. It's a binocular. You don't have to look around. You don't use binoculars to look. You see what it is. It is, he says, what time it is. You don't use that, but you use binoculars to look away off. And faith does that. Faith picks up God's binoculars, both of them, both sides, the New Testament and the Old Testament, and sees every promise that he made. And tense says here, he looks at the end. He don't drop the sights down to look this way. He looks out yonder. He keeps the crosshairs dead center on the word. That's what faith does. That's faith in a man that does those things. So the prophet is telling us that faith doesn't waver. Faith is strong and has, like he said, I think he says, hairs on his chest, he said. And so it has big muscles. So that's what we need in this day and age is faith. I think a lot of times people just have hope. They don't have real, genuine faith. And hope is good, but you need faith as well mixed with it. You got to have both. They're like sisters, like sisters, we can say. And so we see all these things that people will have, like tattoos of crosses and scriptures and chains, but yet this is for show. Because you ask them, like, oh, why'd you get this? Oh, I just like it, you know. I like the cross. I'm like, you know, or I'm a Christian. And you start asking them things, oh, and this and that and that. You kind of find out that, oh, yeah, okay. And you hear them talk with foul language. I'm like, oh, I don't be saying anything. I'd be just looking and listening. And I'm like, you know, if you call yourself a Christian, you shouldn't be talking like the world. So, but the thing is, I let God do his thing. Because if they're seed, they're seed. If they're not, they're not. It's my timer. All right. Let's go to Hebrews 4:12, and we'll close there. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So I think a lot of times we tend to look at our situations too carnal. We don't look at it with our spiritual looking glasses. So the thing is, if you look at situations and trials and carnality, then of course you're going to worry, you're going to doubt, you're going to fear. So the thing is, we have to put our spiritual looking glasses on and see that we're in these situations for a reason. They're going to perfect you. They're going to better you. They're going to make you a better a Christian, a better husband, a better wife, a better brother, a better minister, a better son, whatever it is that God wants to. Because I believe that God wants you to be better in all areas. Because he doesn't want to focus on this, but God wants to see you improve in every areas. And I believe we're in a season of restoration where we can improve in all the areas. Maybe somebody wants to see their marriage be more close. Maybe you want to see your kids be filled with the Holy Ghost, like we said, Brother Osiah. Whatever it is, ask. Because I believe that there's nothing impossible for God to do. God can do it. So your trials and tribulations, they aren't there to discourage you. They're not. They're not to break you in a bad way. They're to build you spiritually. They're to break your flesh, yes. But they're to build you spiritually. Because your flesh is not going to like the trial. Your flesh is going to complain and murmur. But don't let murmuring and complaining be a norm for you. Because it was a norm for the children of Israel, and that's why they didn't make it. So the thing is, we want to catch yourself when you begin to murmur and complain. Because I know we're human beings, we're going to complain, but catch yourself so you don't make it a habit. Because a lot of times we make bad habits because we let it slip. And if we let it slip, then that's when it becomes a bad habit. So catch yourself. Like Brother Branham said, you can't stop the devil from trying to put thoughts, but you can stop the thoughts from staying in your head. You can kick them out. Because if you let the thoughts come in, they're going to manifest. So don't let them manifest. So your trials aren't there to discourage you, to break you in a bad way, but they're there to build you spiritually. God is building a building inside of you, and these trials and tribulations are to build that building. We have to realize that God knows what he's doing. So the oceans are going to roar. The mountains are going to be shaken. Everything is going to, these things are going to keep happening. So what we need to do is just be thankful that we can be through these things, because God sees something in you that he wants to perfect. And to me, that's a blessing that the very God of heaven cares about me, that he wants to see you and I in perfection. And so we can walk in confidence that the oceans are going to roar, but he will not forsake you. So let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so thankful, Lord, for this season that we're in, Lord Jesus. Father, we just seen you move, Lord, in so many, many ways and so many miracles, Father, and healings and refillings and fillings, Father. And we know, Lord, that this isn't it, Lord. You have so much more, Father. Lord, you exceedingly abundant in what we expect, Lord. And Father, as we walk, Lord, with the eyes of faith, Lord, down this walk that you called us, Lord, help us, Lord, just to see the big picture, Lord. Help to remind us why we're here, Lord. We're here, Lord, just for you and you alone, Lord. May this day forward, may we just walk with eyes of faith, Lord. May we not murmur and complain. If we do, Lord, help us to catch it, Lord Jesus. We don't want to make it a habit, but, Lord, we want to make it a habit to praise and worship you, Lord. A habit to trust in you, Lord. A habit to take you at your word, Almighty God. Let us make those kind of habits, Lord, because those kind of habits, Lord, are going to lead us to the promised land. And Father, may you bless all those here tonight, Lord, those on the live stream, Lord. And Lord, may we, Lord Jesus, just walk, Lord, as you call us to walk. You told Abraham to walk. You didn't tell him where to walk, but you told him to walk, Father. And sometimes in our walk, Lord, you tell us just to walk without giving us an exact direction, Lord. And Father, may you increase our faith, Lord. May you give us more of your Holy Ghost, more of you, Father. And may you bless this night, Lord. Ask all these things in the most precious holy name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank the Lord for the word tonight, though the oceans may roar. I just appreciate that and feel like we're going through a season where the oceans are certainly roaring. But God promised never to leave us nor forsake us in times like this, so we are very, very appreciative of that. Brother Mark made a statement about, you know, when you're going through things like that, sometimes God will just kind of come through for you. And he said he'll hit a buzzer beater. I said, man, that's a really, really good thought. You know, my mind just start going through different buzzer beaters that I done seen. I'm thinking about, you know, Ray Allen here in Miami, and they were playing the San Antonio Spurs, and Chris Bosh got the rebound and threw it out to Ray Allen, and he just let one fly. Think about Michael Jordan, and, you know, you'd always, if you had him on your team, no matter how old he was, if Michael Jordan was on your team, you want to give him the ball to see if he could get the last shot. And I remember, you know, a couple times they beat the Cleveland Cavaliers because Michael Jordan shot that last shot, and a lot of buzzer beaters. But I just imagine if I had God on my team. Brother, I don't know, if God is on my side, and he's on my team, ain't nobody else gonna get the ball. Give the ball to God. We are guaranteed to win if we can just get the ball in God's hands. And if you could have that type of thought about whatever issue that you're facing, whatever trial you're going through, just get things in God's hands and it's gonna be all right. Hallelujah. I believe that with all my heart. So I just appreciate that. My God, God hit a buzzer beater on your behalf. Amen. God bless you, Brother Mark. We really, really appreciate, amen, the word of the Lord on tonight. Amen. Let us have tonight's announcements, and we will mention that to everyone. Let me start with Friday. We have service here, and it's we deemed it a youth service. The youth will be responsible for the specials and things of that nature. But we will have a minister speaking, Brother Caleb Duran, And he's coming from Tucson, Arizona. A few of his saints have already arrived. They've reached out to me, a couple families that have come all the way from Arizona to be here and fellowship with us this weekend. So he'll be preaching on Friday night and also preaching on Sunday morning here. And then also Brother Caleb will be preaching Sunday night in Boynton Beach with Brother Gene and the saints there at Bride of Christ. So keep those things in mind. And our prayer will start 8:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. on Sunday. And then Sunday school from 8:45 to 9:15, and then service will start at 9:30. Streaming continues through our church website, john423.org, and our Facebook page, SAT Tabernacle. So keep those things in mind. Don't forget the youth banquet that's coming up in Sarasota on Saturday, October 4th from 3 to 10, and you can register there at www.houseoffellowship.com. Brother Danny Steeman is the pastor there at the church. The Bethel Youth Camp, where Brother Jason Watkins is the pastor, they're having a youth camp Thursday through Sunday, October 16th through 19th. And they you can go to that website that's on the screen in order to do the registration for that. So just want to mention those things. Our giving is through Cash App, PayPal, and Zelle for online giving. We prefer Zelle because there are no fees there, but we are able to take PayPal and Cash App payments. If you use Zelle or PayPal, it's going to be giving at john423.org. If you use Cash App, $SpiritandTruth, and we have our mailing address as well on the bottom of the screen. And those inside the sanctuary, we do have a wooden box in the back as you exit or as you enter that you can use for your giving. Praise the Lord. All right. Do we have anyone here that would want to share a testimony tonight? Or if there's any special prayer requests that we have, any testimonies? Okay, come on, brother. Certainly appreciate the Lord. Amen. And all that he is doing in our midst. Amen. Amen.
God bless you, church. I don't have a testimony, but I actually do have a prayer request. And I just want to ask the whole church to keep a little situation in prayer. And I was reminded of Sister Nellie. She gave a testimony. She had a situation with her computer, where the computer was shut down, and she has some stuff that she needed. And today, Mandy, we're working on the office, and right now she doesn't have an office, and she's working out of the table in the kitchen, in the dining room. And a cup of water spilled all over her computer, and right now she doesn't seem to be able to get a lot of stuff that she has there. It's very important for the business, and notes and files. And so I believe that through the preaching today, there's a lot that we can apply to that. I send her a couple texts throughout the preaching. I say, this is very timely, and we can stand on that. Amen. And I believe that us worrying in a situation does not bring us closer to the promises that God has gave us. So we got to stand strong. But I do ask that all of you would take that into prayer, that we may be able to either get all that stuff back or get the computer fixed and get it back. And if not, then I believe that all things are working together for our good. God has a plan. And whether we get that stuff or not, we're still standing strong in God's word.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody else? A praise report or prayer request? All right. This brother Josue was just mentioning that as a tape I was just listening to, and I don't think I ever caught this before. And thinking about Peter walking on water, Brother Branham said when he walked on water, he never even got wet. Can you imagine that? You imagine that? And with water, you're supposed to get wet. But the miracle was so powerful that Peter never even got wet. So I'm thinking about this computer, and we not accepting it, especially with the need being that great. You know, whatever it take, I mean, we going to say the computer not even wet. Right. Hallelujah. But this was certainly a timely sermon. And you know, when we have different things that kind of come up as believers, we elevate. We go to a different level. And that's what we're supposed to do. When you look at the life of the Lord Jesus, certain things would come, he elevated, you know, and he took care of the situation. Praise God. So yeah, we're gonna pray over that. We're gonna pray over that. They're not gonna lose nothing. Amen. Not one thing. Anybody else wanna share testimony or prayer requests? Okay, come on, sis. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Is it turned on, sis? Just press that button to make sure it's green.
Okay, God bless you. Okay. I'm just asking for prayer for me for complete healing. Just been battling all week long with cold, and yesterday vertigo tried to get me again. But also, just a couple of prayer requests, asking that you keep my daughter Zion in prayer. She facing a test, a major test. She has to ace on Friday. If you can just keep her in your prayers. But also my brother Lim, he's been in and out of the hospital, and the doctors just still been running tests. But he actually said that the sinner's prayer with my brother Roy a few weeks ago, and he's accepted Christ, and I just pray that you keep him in your prayers. Mm. And also that God will just bring healing to his body.
Amen. 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 Thank God for that. Yeah. Heaven rejoices when just one repents on this side. So we thank God. And we also know that through Christ's death on the cross, he brought both our salvation and our healing, amen. And that one atonement is a dual atonement that we got the benefit for. So we'll be praying for Brother Lim. Anybody else before we leave tonight? All right, all right. Well, let us take these requests to the Lord, and we'll prepare to dismiss. Father, we thank you for the word that was given to us. Though the oceans roar, mountains shake. God, we are confident that you are still with us in the midst of it all, and we don't have to fret. We don't have to worry. God, we can trust and lean on you, and because you are a miracle worker. And Lord, we have a couple needs here. This computer that a water spill happened to it, and now our sister is trying to navigate. Lord, we pray that you, just as Peter did not experience any wetness, God, we're asking that this computer would go through the same type of thing, that it won't experience that, and there would be no damage at all in this situation. You know how important a computer is to them, to the business, to school, everything, Lord. So we know that the same God that was watching over Peter can watch over this computer. So we commit it now into your hands. And even hearing the testimony from Sister Nellie a couple weeks ago, sometimes we don't realize when we share our testimonies how much somebody else needs to hear that. You never know what another person will be going through, and they'll need to draw strength from what is being shared. So, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to, Lord, just share what you have done for us. And just, God, we ask that, because we don't know who we're helping along the way. We ask that you'd just be with our sister Zion. Lord, she has this test coming up. Pray that you would just minister to her and her need. Continue to touch Sister Shonda and her body. We thank you for what you've done thus far, and we know you'll complete the work that you started. limb is in need of a touch. Thank God that Brother Roy was able to go there and just share Christ with him and give him, Lord, his heart was tender enough to be able to accept Christ as his Savior. And Lord, we know that through your death on the cross, not only did you bring salvation, but you also brought healing. So, Father, we pray that you would bring healing to his body. And in between him and his condition, we place the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that you were wounded for his transgressions, bruised for his iniquities. The chastisement of his peace is upon you. And with your stripes, we declare healing. Father, as we prepare to leave this place but not your presence, may you, Father, just go with us and may you keep us till we come back together on Friday night as we, Lord, just looking forward to hearing what you would speak to us through your servant, Brother Caleb. We ask that you give him traveling mercies as he would come. And, Lord, just bless, amen, his coming and bless his going. May you get all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. God richly bless you, church. The brothers will come at this time to dismiss you. Amen. God bless you.